settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to the Spirits Work Show. It's a show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. This week, we'll be discussing your passion of purpose. And if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call in the U.S. and the Canada is toll-free. The number in U.S. is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322, or if you're an international caller, it's not free, but it's still a reasonably cheap night in to listen to us and call in and speak to Spirit Gregory, and it's 001-530-876-3222. I'll give you those again in a little while.
Okay. Hello, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, book an Akashic reading, or go to any of the other services that we offer, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I will be channeling our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be taking center stage, or center microphone, whatever that is, on the show. I've been working in this way with Gregory for many years now. You wouldn't tell it sometimes. Spirit guy Gregory Hay will borrow my physical body so that he can speak to you, and because it is deep trance, that is full body deep trance, I won't be aware of anything that happens. So if you've got a question relating to our subject of discussion, it is Gregory Hay who will be talking to you. And I'm going to hand the show to Sylvie now. Have a nice time, dear.
Thank you. And I'd just like to take this opportunity...
I'll miss you.
No, you won't. No, you won't. I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you about our mini Akashic readings that are free. We will be doing it periodically. We're doing it this Monday, but I'm afraid we're fully booked for this Monday coming. But we have some spaces for the 22nd of March, which is not our next afternoon show, but the one after that. So if you would like to email us in and give us your full name at birth, your date of birth, and one question. Think about it hard. It's a question about you. It's your book of life. Gregory won't be telling you about your love life or anything like that. It's rather more in depth than that. And Akashic reading is about your book of life because that is what it is. It's your Akashic records. So think about it. It would be good to have your phone number as well. So we need your full name at birth, your date of birth, one question, and your phone number, and email all of this to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Like I said, we'll be doing this on the, not next Thursday, but the Thursday after that on our afternoon show. We have a couple of slots left, and it'll be a mini 10-minute reading, but Gregory manages to cram a lot into that, as you can imagine. Basically, if we get so many, then we will just put you in a line and we'll make a list up, and then as we do the shows we will contact you and say that it's you next, and you'll just have to phone in the show and you can get your free Akashic reading. Okay, so well, today is not a reading, but you can still phone in and talk to Spirit Gregory from the US. It's 877-876-5227. Canada 888-810-8322. Oh, and international was 001-530-876-3222. And you should be able to get these numbers from our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. So, Gregory.
Hello, Fain.
Hi.
With love and light, as always, Fain.
Thank you. You're welcome. So, can we just start by saying to everybody about what happens when we do this this program in the spirit world? For the people that don't know, maybe?
Yes, of course. In the spirit world, of course, we have already... There is great understanding that this is going to take place. There will be many thousands, there are many thousands of beings who are assembled around about you at this present time, not you the listener, necessarily, but in this situation that we have prepared. So our dear friend is actually taken to one side, and at present he is in a place which is secure. We have seated a representation of what is happening here in the physical life in the spirit world, and it is on a kind of platform, a diocese, if you like. And there are many thousands of beings who are present during this situation, and they are all giving in their love and energy. They're not just human being type people. These are energies of all different kinds and descriptions of species, not necessarily of presently of the earth plane either, but from wherever they are and holding what interest that they have in the forms of communication we are perfecting as a group. And so all of these beings who are present are bringing communication, bringing their loving energy, as I say, and also bringing their energy in the form of answers to certain questions and helping to feed the situation toward me so that I am not stuck for anything,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the reason why it is that I appear to have this broad stroke of knowledge, which of course I'm not stupid, but that I have this broad stroke of knowledge simply because of the many thousands of beings who are here present, who are giving me this knowledge interaction at this time.
Who makes the choice of you saying a specific thing? I mean, you know, because presumably they have differing
opinions.
Yes, exactly, points of view.
Oh, yes, quite so.
So there must be some nearer to you.
Yes, yes, it is really actually due to the consensus of opinion. And actually, I have a friend here called Morris who actually filters the information and picks out not specifically what is... He's not biased in any way. He's not like a biased journalist or something like that. He's actually someone who just filters in the facts so that I may pick them up, you see?
Mm-hmm. Because when we know that we're going to do a show on a specific subject, then presumably you do research your side and get some sort of format going of how it's going to go.
Well, yes, to a point.
So you know roughly.
Yes, it really, though, does depend upon exactly what input other beings have at the time.
Hmm.
This is something, it's not all prearranged. It is something which is very much a vibrant situation of giving to the moment. That is the purpose of it. And that in itself eclipses the energy, brings the energy, raises it up so that the very focus of attention is something quite specific to the subject matter.
Mm. But the truth is the truth, and when you're getting this arranged, and like I say, we will be center of the platform of the stage, as it were, in the
yes.
spirit world.
Yes.
So basically, it's like a teaching environment there as well as here, because we're an information show, aren't we?
Yes, factual relatives. It is to do with factual information, not just to do with the physical side of life, but also, of course, to do with the etheric identity and everything to do with the interrelationship between the so-say, supposed two worlds, which is in fact one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to keep reminding ourselves that it's not up there or over there, and because we do that, don't we? We raise our eyes and point upwards.
Yes, or whatever. What does that mean? You are pointing to the sky. Why would you want to point to the sky?
I know.
When spirit are just a millimeter away, mm-hmm. or perhaps even less. Mm-hmm. Your doorkeeper, after all, is someone who is almost immediately vacant, mm-hmm. almost immediately there to respond to you and will support you at so many opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I'm sure that's helped people. Nice to imagine what's going on while, as you're listening to somebody talking, if you can't see them, especially on the radio.
Yes, if you can imagine then a large theatre where all of the audience is actually participating. They don't have to voice their thoughts and their sayings. They don't have to come out with it in that form of illumination, although some do. It's not just silent. Otherwise, many beings will focus their thoughts and their energy toward that being. So imagine then if you were I suppose if you were looking at it as a religious experience, it would be imagining a situation of divine love where you are perhaps the focus of that attention, of that energy. It is a very beautifying experience to both be within the audience, and I have been at many audiences to do with other beings and other communication.
Mm-hmm.
But also as a part of it, and also with the extent of love, which is then conveyed in bringing about the messages, in bringing about the information, because it is only in the strength of love that truth can prevail.
Okay. So today you're going to be talking to us about the passion of purpose.
Yes. This actually has to do with how a being becomes first motivated, self-motivated perhaps, or propelled by certain individual acts of courage or individual acts of inspiration which come upon the mind, born either within the self or are brought about by just your engagement with your physical life. How do you come to actually make a decision? Ah, yes, that's what I'll do. That is what has fired your imagination. You are suddenly galvanized into activity of intenseness. And what you actually do is, in bringing about this energy, it actually forms a sort of a kinetic energy on your surface. So, and this kinetic energy on the surface also goes within. You suddenly feel that you are released with energy. This is a pheromonic activity which actually enacts upon your chemical reaction to the feeling of well-being that you gain. Something, of course, symptomatic of certain chemical interactivity that your physical body relates to. It's part of your genetic makeup and your heritage as a physical being. But it is also something which helps you to bind with that communication you've made. So, for example, friends, if you have brought about this thought, this feeling, this idea, great idea that you have in your mind, and you think, well, what am I going to do with it now? If you think too hard, if you become too labored about it, you may actually get bogged down and not relate to the passion and purpose you are bringing to the surface of you that is becoming vibrant, that's helping you to propel yourself along to decisions, to judgments, correct ones at that time, because you're carried by the perpetuating energy you have introduced into the situation. You're happy.
Yes, you can end up talking yourself out of something again, though, can't you? Is that because you lose the impetus?
Yes, quite so. You lose that connection. That's what we're talking about. You need to be able to connect with this impassioned situation. And of course it is that many people, human beings on physical state, actually find it quite difficult to relate to How is it that they're going to stir up this passion of purpose? How are they going to invigorate their lives if they are, if you as a human being are downtrodden, if you are feeling depressed because you are perhaps labored under your workload? Perhaps it isn't something which brings you justifiable positivity in your life. Perhaps it's something like that, that just because you're in a mundane job or something like that, that you actually are not organizing yourself in a way which is responding vibrantly to the place in which you live, for example. I understand that many people who perhaps live in difficult surroundings, harsh environments, not to do with the natural world, but actually man-made harsh environments, which tend to impact upon the individual, making them feel less than who they really are. And this is quite a problem, of course, which can come about with the whole system of the situation. So we can see that, my friends, by you becoming impassioned about one thing, one single thing in your life, perhaps it is about your children, no problem there, you can actually utilize your energy into focusing it for the benefit of your children. If that is what makes you happy, if that is what creates the beauty in your life, no reason why it shouldn't. But, however, I would say that even with children, you also have to learn about and understand certain individuality aspects to your own relationship with self, because otherwise you cannot be possibly happy upon someone else's life. Cannot rely upon that other person's life constantly making you happy. So you need to devise your own principle, your own guiding way in which you actually will then be able to, through your own self-survival, interact with situations that will make you happy. So I'm not saying that the children situation is ruled out, but just that when you are living a life which is geared to relationships, which is centered and focused upon relationships, some people then become bereaved by that relationship when it changes. You feel as though you have been left abandoned. No wonder, because you have lived your life for somebody else, not for your own divination, not for your own progress, but for someone else. The situation has to become that you actually learn to bridge the situation of your own life and actually learn to empower others through it, but still maintaining your own self-individuality, your own perfection. You will drive courage higher and higher into your own realm of thinking. You can do this. You're not a lowly person. Many people, of course, understand this. And they will still try to attract and drive further and further positivity toward themselves in order, perhaps, so they do not have to necessarily put so much effort in themselves. This, too, of course, is a mistake. What really drives your passion and purpose is to not just to cotton on, feel a part of one idea, but just that in order to progress the idea, you will understand that more ideas will come. With these further ideas come connectivity, the transition between one sense of purpose and another is like a fluid movement. It's something which is really beautifying for your life. And it's something of a resurrection, if you like, of how you were perhaps before. So let's not dwell upon the past thoughts and feelings, but actually look into how you can actually shape your life and make yourself to be able to find what it is that you're looking for. What is it that's going to drive you? A lot of people, I understand, in physical life are actually sitting around thinking, well, I am 40 years of age or whatever it is now, and I feel as though I'm missing something. It's not happening for me. How often have you heard that?
Absolutely.
You see, you have a problem when you are in this crisis field, if you like. You feel possibly as though, well, what am I going to do now? I've raised so many children or whatever, they've all flown the nest, or they're in college or whatever it is they're doing with their lives, their busy lives, taking off in their own surrounding, in their own, forming their own individuality as it needs to be. That's a healthy attitude to have. And you have to encourage them and bring about the right energy for them to be able to do that. So what of you? Once you have allowed that to happen, once you've created that uniformity in the humankind with care and understanding, with a broad knowledge base and hopefully perhaps a knowledge of their own spirit, but if it hasn't happened, then it hasn't happened. They may come about into understanding that aspect of their life at any other time. So don't lose sleep over that. What you need to do is to actually understand that, well, no time like the present as being right for you. Don't dwell on the situations, oh, but I haven't done this yet, or I feel as though I have left my future possibility behind, that I'm marooned on this rock of an island, unable to actually see what I can bring forwards for this truthful, positive life. How can I invigorate myself into doing something different? The point is, friends, that many people forget a lot of the situations and events and things in physical life, perhaps during adolescence or whatever it was, that actually invigorated that life to begin with. The treasures, the precious moments of discovery that you as a being created with your relationship, with your environment, with other people, whatever it was, fired up certain situations of memory that perhaps echo other situations that you had lived in the spirit world, and proved that connection. It's just that perhaps you didn't think of it that way. So every single being on your side of life has connectivity which relates to a time when they were 8, 9, or 10 years of age. Or perhaps, and I would not say that this is something which applies to the early teens, because hormonal differences, that kind of thing, usually kicks out any other form of higher interest and thought, or concentration or illumination about imagination, about the bringing about of new ideas. It isn't something which happens then, it happens a little later on in human behavior development. So what you are looking at is, what were the things which were actually beautifying your mind at that time? I'm not saying that you have to look at everything retrospectively, but in order for you to gain some understanding about what it is that actually fires your nature, and it can be anything. It can be helping other people. It can be something to do with your loving gifts of awareness. It can be something to do with your, perhaps you wish to seek some form of higher spiritual development or higher awareness of yourself, your life, your perfected dreams that still may be intact but just buried somewhere underneath all of that flotsam of life you've piled on top of it.
Yes, and not to feel selfish about feeling that you are missing out on something, that you want something more fulfilling in your life, but sometimes it can be impossible to put your finger on it and then confuse it with other emotions, and then it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, say, if maybe you get a calling and you think that it's actually a different life that you want to lead, but apart from your family and your loved ones that you have, and then you find later on, well, actually, it was just something that I could have added and incorporated into my life, included.
Yes.
And not spoiling anything else, if you know what I mean, because you're so confused about what it is. It's almost like being hormonal when you think. When you're thinking, you're confused. You know that you want to do something. There's something missing. And you don't know what it is. It's strange feelings.
Yes, but the point is, of course, that in this situation, you can actually learn to focus yourself and your energy in order to take this on board, that you don't have to, as you say, give up relationships that you've already worked so hard for within your group setting, within the whatever it is of your surroundings. You can actually step forward with these forms of thought and shape something which you will absolutely derive wonderful pleasure from engaging in. Perhaps it may be something to do, after all, with, as I say, something perhaps to do with relationships, or maybe it is to do with the natural world in which you live. Perhaps you have some form of leaning about animal welfare, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. But the fact is that even if it is to do, perhaps that potentially it can change your whole aura of thinking. It may be an actual physical skill that you want to acquire. Perhaps doing something with building or stone or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what the subject matter comes to be. It is how it is born, how it is grown in the mind, and how you can fuel it with absolute passion. The passion comes from understanding that you can achieve it. That's something, perhaps, that blocks many people, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But it almost sounds like a hobby, though, sometimes when you're talking about it.
Oh, yes, quite so. And that, you're not really serious about it, but what is your job of work? Rather than understanding that, well, actually, the job of work that you do may be actually secondary to the real love and inspiration of your life. Perhaps you have a hobby of putting together classic cars or something like that. Perhaps you have a hobby of doing something else mechanical, something which enables you to beautify your life by expressing things of perfection. That's something that a lot of people in human physical form derive a great deal of pleasure from, and that is actually trying to perfect certain ways of doing something. It is as though you are saying, well, I can actually perfect this to such an extent that I make it into a sort of art form. Whereas the passion of purpose involved in it outweighs its actual mechanical material value, perhaps, in the state of the ordinary world in which you live. And what you then end up in perceiving for yourself and creating in your life is something of intense beauty that other people may only just admire. And it glorifies their life. That is the way in which the beautiful things that human beings are able to create in their life actually continue to evolve the status of humankind by bringing about these internal passions and creating such pleasure, such volumes and mass of energy, of beautifying something which is perhaps otherwise just an ordinary thing, something which you may pick up from a supermarket shelf, suddenly becomes something of individuality.
So could this show be called Finding Your Creativity?
It could be called a number of things, really, because it is about the energy of creation. And the reason why we had thought of passion was because that is the first energy that you're trying to find. That's the key signatory from the law of the universe, if you like. Because you may, for example, in the spirit world, there may be hundreds or thousands or millions of beings in the spirit world who do not have a passion of purpose.
And yet you say, and we can go back to that, but you say that very often, I've noticed in your in many of your readings, the majority of the people that have an Akashic reading, which is obviously about their, a lot of it is about their life previous coming to here, to coming
yes.
to have the Earth life,
yes.
Is that they very often had a passion of purpose when they were there. They were creative. They did a lot of things. A lot of the people, anyway, that we've given readings
to. Yes, that is true.
Tended to really, really have something that they were passionate about and occupied themselves with.
Yes, but that is why they've come for a reading, friend, is because they are aware that there is something missing.
Mm.
That's the whole signatory thing that drives someone to want to find out about their prior life experience and what it is that they're missing to possibly then re-engage with, to ignite the fire within a self, which is why we feel that such a reading is so important to the development of the human psyche,
yeah.
as well as the fulfillment of the whole state of that human identity.
Yes, because presumably if you have got this far that you are inquiring about that because, hello, you're still searching, you are always going to be searching. Even when you found it, you are still going to be this open-minded person that knows that every road and every door can lead to somewhere better and bigger and more fulfilling.
Yes, quite so.
I'm not saying that you're not going to be satisfied with what it is that you do, but you're always going to know that there's that much more.
Yes, quite so. The people who tend to live fulfilled lives to do with the humankind in physical form generally tend to have tapped in to their passion of purpose ignited from their prior journey in the spirit world and what they actually did with that journey. So many people perhaps identify with a certain form of pedantic behavior or a note into detail, and the history behind that is something which doesn't just come from their physical life. So we can see then that people's passion and their inability sometimes to tap into that, as I say, does actually extend into the spirit world, because for some people, they come to our side of life and they have forgotten actually what it is they're supposed to be doing with it. They perhaps have not related or continued to relate upon the situations of their past physical life and have not brought with them the issues of what they interacted with, or perhaps have forgotten the way to realizing those. So sometimes we have to show a being in the spirit world who has recently returned from their physical journey just how they may re-establish that form of contact.
Wow, this is exciting. And I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about the passion of purpose. If you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free US 877-876-5227. Canada 888-810-8322, and international callers, this isn't toll-free, but please do call. It's 001-530-876-3222.
In case you're wondering what I'm doing, friend, I'm actually just understanding the shape of our friend here's physical dimension of nose.
Okay, so I'll tell everybody just a moment that when Gregory had his hand up in the air and he was doing something in front of his face with, well, both hands actually. Yes, I did wonder what you were doing.
Yes, well, it is really trying to establish exactly what it is that I have around me at this moment in time, and to equate with the actual shape and form of this outer physical layer of which I am understanding through the vibration and the energy and connection of the tissues that we are actually working with, of the physical brain and the mental situation that was there.
Yes, I mean, you do use your hands a lot for people that are just listening. And, you know, I'll explain that you do. Gregory does. You're very dexterous with your hands. You use them to when you're talking about to help describe what you're talking about, even though there's nobody here except me.
Well, yes, quite so.
Which is great. But lately, you have been touching your face and that sort of thing more than usual.
Yes, it is really interesting to me to actually register the feelings of these hands, for example, and how the messages are coming to me at this moment in time as I take it upon myself to be within this physical state temporarily. It is interesting how they have managed to, how the joining of this situation has taken upon itself in this way.
It's quite incredible, really. Quite incredible.
Yes.
Okay. Has everybody got a passion of purpose?
Everyone. Every single being in physical life at this moment, at this very time, has an innate passion of purpose within them. Every single being. Yes. They may not realize it, of course. They may be bereft of it. It could be the actual reason for why a certain being is so depressed, because they haven't actually found it, so they're feeling this large empty void. After all, it is why so many people turn to different substances in order to try to relieve the boredom or to try to find the happiness, to try to revisit what that feeling is supposed to be, because they remember that somewhere in that mind, somewhere in that conscious state, lies a revisited memory of their etheric journey before physical state, which was something beautiful and magical and wondrous. So they are trying to connect with that, but doing it in such a way as the only thing that they can possibly think of doing at times is to make it so that they are anesthetized to the pain they are feeling through the lack of contact of their spiritual value.
What about people that, you could call it a passion of purpose, people that are totally and utterly passionate about hunting and killing animals for pleasure, for sport?
Yes.
One could call that a passion of purpose. No? Yes?
No, it isn't a passion of purpose, friend.
It's obviously not being fired by your spirit, because your spirit is pure and is love.
And wouldn't do that.
But it's a drive. It's a similar drive to what you would have if somebody was totally intent on doing something they enjoyed and got the same pheromonic chemical activity result from it.
No, that is not the case, quite simply because what happens is that is exactly the same as someone who drinks or takes drugs.
Okay.
That what they're doing is trying to fulfill the whole. So you are merely subjugating one form of activity for another, and the pleasure and the drive from that a person sees is to do with power, overpowering an adversary, which is actually a genetic behavior. So what you are actually creating is a being who has lost the feeling and the sensitivity that they had in the spirit world, and is actually therefore trying to fulfill the life by creating some other pleasure. And so the pleasure would be the same whether it was hunting and killing something else, whether it was raping a woman, whether it was killing some other creature. Whatever it was, it could be perhaps that the passion of purpose behind that is actually not the signatory, because what you are doing is going through the motions. So whether you kill an antelope, a deer, a walrus, or squash a bug on a window, what you're doing is energizing something to do with your innate power due to genetics, but it doesn't mean to say that you don't have a hand in it. You don't have responsibility over it. You do. What you are actually trying to do is fulfill the energy of emotion, which is actually bereft from you because you are not fulfilling it in the way that you should be, which is through love.
What about war?
War is something that human beings, and to a certain extent other primates, carry on with regard to overpowering and becoming dominant within their own landscape in order to preserve their genetic history. That is everything that war is about. Otherwise, if it wasn't about that, you would try to reach a diplomatic solution. If you had a situation where people were being starved, where people were being mutilated or butchered through genocide, then that obviously is a situation, again, of power over the series of mind, over the actions of other beings in physical state. Their passion of purpose is still unfulfilled. Their happiness derives from attaining power, which is another way of trying to fill the void which exists because of their unrelated and unknowing stance that they cannot connect with their spirit. Why can't they connect with their spirit? Because their vibration has sunk so low because of the atrocities and the states of mind they've created for other beings that have raised their power status, that they then have difficulty in attaining the level of vibration necessary for them to connect with their spirit. That's it. So beings who go to war, what of soldiers and that kind of thing? Beings who have perhaps been committed more to it being in service to helping other people, perhaps that was their offset argument for doing what they wanted to do. I'm not saying that soldiers, having soldiers is a bad thing. Having war is a bad thing. Being a warring party is not a good environment because you cannot create something constructive out of it. It will be something which you create to stop the behavior of someone else, perhaps, or not. And that is the engagement you take on. That isn't to do with the passion of purpose. That is to do with bringing about the courage impacts from other situations, which are partly genetic behavior, partly animalistic behavior, to do with the confinement of how you carry on the genetic enterprise of one particular species, or in this case, one section of humanity, a society. If that society wants to broadcast a certain form of behavior or way of life, then they will no doubt overpower other societies who don't agree with it, and will use the force of arms in order to drive that message through. You could say that that passion of purpose is something of a singularity, that it in fact involves only one idea, and that is the bearer of arms. Not to do with the engagement of reasonability or diplomacy in order to bring about the right practice of how to resolve a conflict. It is when communication has failed that war takes over. And the failure of communication is usually due to some few people who have less of a desire to make that contact than they have of war. That is a question of commitment.
So how can we tell if it's our passion or purpose that we're searching for, or whether we are just feeling restless, depressed even, because we feel we're missing something?
Well, because most people who are depressed are in that state because they haven't found what really makes them to be in the happy state that they should be in. The point is that too many human beings allow themselves to be carried along by the wills of others. That means they don't have control of their life. How on earth are you going to be able to realize your individuality if you constantly rely on someone else to make it for you?
Well, true. Absolutely, yes. But we've made it harder for ourselves to play out our passion or purpose through our needs of continuing our material life and what we have to do on a daily basis.
I totally agree with you, friend. The point is, however, that it is because of this complexity of which you speak of that human beings then end up in trying to decide, well, where has my pathway gone? It is as though someone has come along in front of them and taken away the pathway. So all you can see is desert, or all that you can see is not the path that someone else has already made. Because the person who made that path already for you is your spirit and your life in the spirit world. You may, of course, quite rightly say, well, as a physical being, if that's the case, if my pathway was where my spirit has been already, surely then that would mean I'm not actually progressing, but I want to just recreate something that's already been. But the point is that all we're saying is that we agree that for some human beings in physical Earth, having a physical human experience, you will actually come upon a new passion of purpose. You will create something new from the voyage of your past spirit life, something which will augment that voyage that you undertook. So it doesn't mean to say that what you have to do in physical life has got to be the same as your spirit voyage. But I'm just saying that for many people, this is something which can help trigger the event of finding your real passion of purpose.
So by meditating on that.
Yes.
Meditating on that and maybe forming a link with your life that you had before.
Yes.
The spirit world.
Absolutely so.
Forming a bond there and then seeing where it goes. So basically, would you say that people who meditate are going to find their passion of purpose quicker, easier? So, and do you think in days of old, when people didn't used to have the TV and that sort of thing, the things that occupy people these days, well, and the humdrum life, I know I'm not saying they had it easier, they didn't, they probably did have it harder, but they had more space.
Absolutely so, and did not have these, as you say, these details of attracting attention away from a human being actually defining what their passion of purpose is. Even if the passion of purpose is something which is regarded by others as being lowly, that isn't the issue. That is a matter of judgment and decision by that being to defer your energy as being something less than theirs. That's a matter of opinion, is it not? So don't let them have that ground away from you, from underneath your feet. Stand up and say, yes, I can see what my passion of purpose could be, and I'm going to take steps to evolve it into my now consciousness. Isn't that what you want to do? You're not going to wait until you pass to the spirit world to revisit your passion of purpose. What you need to do is to do something about it now, this very moment.
Whatever it is. So you're saying, whatever it is that you are feeling this emotion towards at any particular time, to follow your instinct.
Yes, absolutely so. What do you think it's there for?
And you don't. And it doesn't matter if you change it?
No, it doesn't. Of course not. What you are doing is surveying the landscape. You're creating something, an energy, forward motion. You're creating an energy in order to become enlivened, not in a way that is made up, not in a way that is conjured up or manufactured in your mind, but something of a real connection, and you know it when you connect in reality to that form of energy which is going to propel you.
And you're creating energy, and then thus so you're attracting energy, creative energy, more
yes.
creative energy, which is why you may change.
Absolutely so, yes. Because, of course, then the more that you attract this positive energy and create the courage within you because you're seeing progress, that is something else, which then ignites further this energy to further it in your heart and your mind, to raise your vibration, bringing elation. Elation comes from the consequence of knowing who you are and relieving yourself of the fear of who you are not. Why would you want to think and focus upon something that you are not, something that you see someone else doing? Oh, I wish it was I was doing that.
Yes, why didn't I think of doing that? And, you know, the amount of people that don't do that because somebody else has already thought of it.
Yes, how ridiculous.
Yes, well, do it anyway. You might do it different, even better.
Well, you know? Probably will. The point is that you will probably do the thing that you see other people doing and fearing it because they've already done it, but you will do it in your way, in your own individual expression of it.
Yes.
So don't think that just because someone else is singing this way in particular, or perhaps they're painting in a certain style or whatever, don't think that just because they're doing that, that you cannot do it too. Perhaps you can use that as a template to start with. Well, there is my marker. This is what I want to try to achieve. Something similar to this. If I do that, yes, I'll be happy. But if I do that and then continue with the impetus and go beyond that, I will have made something of myself, will I not?
And it doesn't matter how simple it is.
No, indeed not. And that is the form of focus you have to have. Don't think in terms of, I am already a failure before I've started. That will bring about the wrong energy. You won't connect them with that pure, beautiful, powerful, charismatic energy that you actually belong to. That's my point. This is a part of you. It's not something alien.
Yes, and it's good to, it can be good to jog you out of a depression or something. You might not be able to go to work because of your nervous condition or whatever it is, but you know, if you move with this energy, you never know where it can take you, ultimately.
Absolutely. Absolutely true, yes. Mm. Quite so.
Yes, you don't have to sit at home and be sad. You can be happy and creative.
And know this, that you are who you are because of what you do. And because through creation in your life, you can be something more than what you were yesterday. Don't rest upon the thoughts and feelings you had yesterday. They were yesterday. They're not now.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and light and blessings upon you, dear friend, little bird, we thank you for this time and for all of the energy we have felt through the group. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good day.
Good day. Well, okay, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Don't forget our mini Akashic readings, not next Thursday, but the Thursday after. We still have 2 slots open, and even if they are full up by the time we get your email, we can always put you in on another date, either on an evening or on the afternoon show, if that's the only one that you can make. And we will need your full name at birth, your date of birth, 1 question, a phone number, and you can email this to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay, it's a mini free Akashic reading with Gregory. It'll be about 10 minutes long. You're not going to get a message from a loved one or find out when you're going to find your true love or anything like that. It's about your Akashic book, which is your book of life. It's about you. It's about your life in the spirit world before you came here. Think about it. And anyway, we're going to be doing these shows periodically, so it doesn't matter if you don't get in for the 22nd of March, which is the next one, because the previous one is already full up. We can put your name down for another time, okay? And this can be anywhere in the world, and we'll sort that out, and you can phone in, okay? All right, well, thank you very much. Like I say, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for listening. Our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.